This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Selena Zito's going to join us about a half hour from now. We'll talk a little bit more about the Trump election with her. She was all over that. Going to deal with some illegal immigration talk. I'm going to talk about the FBI director, the new one here, really quickly. And then we'll probably do some screwing off, some voicemails and emails and other things. But FBI director. That's the big one for me. And honestly, for everyone. But you cannot have an evil secret police agency in a country and remain free. You cannot. As I've said many times before, I believe the FBI will cause a civil war if it is not reformed or, look, in a perfect world, it'd be completely eliminated. But that's the cost of having a secret police agency that works exclusively for one side. That's what happens. So it's a big, big, big deal. Attorney General and FBI Director, they are like peas and carrots, as Forrest Gump would say. You've never seen Forrest Gump? Chris, I don't have time for you right now. They work together. They work together a lot to attack crime. So we're going to have Pam Bondi as Attorney General. Okay. Let's hope she does really well. I don't hate it. I don't love it. She'll be fine. All right, fine. That means the other half of that equation needs to be the fire-breathing dragon we want. And there really hasn't been a ton of talk about this pick just yet. But I'm hearing two names now. Kash Patel, you've probably heard of him. He's one of the main guys, and I love Kash Patel. And I love him for FBI director. Let me make sure I'm crystal clear about that. Kash Patel has several times on camera talked about how the FBI is corrupt, evil. It needs to be spread out, broken up. Kash Patel has the exact mentality we need to stomp into the Cheka's office and start making waves. Kash Patel would be wonderful. And the hardcore Trump world knows Kash and loves Kash. Maybe you do. Good, good, good. Again, not shooting any of that down. If it's Kash Patel, I will be doing backflips on camera. I'm kidding. I won't. I'll hurt my knee. But I'll be mentally doing backflips. There is another name that I am hearing floated around quite a bit. And knee or no knee, I might actually do backflips if it's him. If you're in Missouri, you already know who Andrew Bailey is. If you're heavily politically involved, you know who Andrew Bailey is. For those unfamiliar, Andrew Bailey is the Attorney General of the state of Missouri. And he's not like most GOP AGs. Andrew Bailey, you know how we talked a lot about how Republican AGs under Joe Biden, they should view their role as standing in between the federal government and their citizens. They should view themselves as protectors of their citizens, the citizens of their state, from a lawless, evil government. That's what Joe Biden had. There aren't very many AGs in the country who took on that role. Andrew Bailey did, and has, and still is, I should note. Andrew Bailey is a beast. And you know how much I despise almost every politician. Andrew Bailey has handled his job at AG perfectly for what we need. If you were to take Andrew Bailey, if the FBI director gets announced and it's Andrew Bailey, and maybe you're one of these people, it's got to be Kash Patel, and they announce Andrew Bailey, don't be disappointed. Trust me on that. Don't be disappointed. I love Kash too. If it's Kash, I'll be thrilled. If it's Andrew Bailey, I will probably be equally thrilled, if not more. That's how incredible that pick would be. That man would walk into the FBI and a lot of very, very evil people would be very nervous. Andrew Bailey, man, If Trump picks Andrew Bailey, that's going to be a good day. That's going to be a really good day. Let's get back to the voicemails.
Okay, Jesse, I watch your show all the time. I'm 86 years old. I'm a former U.S. Marine. I wear the Marine Corps emblem every day. In fact, I was a Elite Forces First Recon participant.
Okay, let me just pause. I don't even know what he's going to say. Maybe he's going to scream at me. I don't even care. I owe you a thank you because I am the most blessed person in the history of the world that I get to do this for a living. I've had a normal life and real jobs my entire life. I cannot believe that people like this show, and I can't believe that salty old 86-year-old Marines, First Recon, listen to me talk. You have any idea how cool that is for me? Like for me? I mean, who's the biggest celebrity out there? The Rock or something. The Rock's a big celebrity, right? If I found out The Rock listened to the show, it would do nothing for me whatsoever. Nothing. It's nothing against him. Not a fan, not a hater, just wouldn't do anything for me. I find out an 86-year-old United States Marine listens, and he may be about to chew me out for all I know. An 86-year-old United States Marine listens. That's as cool as it gets.
Okay, Jesse, I watch your show all the time. I'm 86 years old. I'm a former U.S. Marine. I wear the Marine Corps emblem every day. In fact, I was a Elite Forces First Recon participant. And you brought up the issue about these guys drawing a disability when they don't deserve it. I know one right here in my community draws 100%. He brags, tells me he gets out and runs 2 miles every day, that he decorates his house for Christmas at the highest eaves, the best in the entire city of Durant, Oklahoma. And he goes dancing 3 nights a week. He tells me he draws 100% disability with Vietnam. And then he said in Vietnam, he had appendicitis right after he got there, went to the hospital. The doctor kept him there at the hospital for his full year term because he played golf and he counseled or something of the veterans. So you brought up a good subject, Jesse. I see veterans all the time with their arms and legs shot off, and I could just cry for those guys. Mm-hmm. And then you have those like this old boy over at Durant, Oklahoma, that is just worth it. Well, thank you for your Marine service, and your show is just absolutely great. Thank you.
Freaking salty old Vietnam Marine listens to the show. Gosh, that's so sick. I didn't mean for it to become a thing where I was talking a lot about veterans and disability. But the truth is there's a lot of scam there. There is. There's a lot of it. People take advantage of things. And I have friends who did and still are. Man, I don't like it. I absolutely despise it. Jesse, do you, apparently we're at Ask Dr. Jesse Wednesday a little bit early. Remember to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com for tomorrow. Jesse, do you have a trick to make Velveeta shells and cheese creamy and good as the initial cook the next day after they've been in the fridge? The reheat makes it disgusting and dry. Gosh. It's not disgusting and dry. The flavors have finally gotten to know each other. That cream, the cream is not gone. The cream is now on the inside. You've taken the cream and you've merged the cream with the pasta and the meat. If you're worried that it's a little dry, maybe, you can sprinkle a couple drops of water on your plate of Velveeta shells and cheese before you reheat it. It'll keep things a little bit more moist, but the cream is still there. It's just on the inside. Enjoy it. Chris, do you not eat Velveeta shells and cheese? Have you never had this? I did not say I didn't have a solution. I just gave a solution. I just gave a solution, Chris. Obviously, pasta is going to taste different the next day. And when it comes to things like fettuccine Alfredo, I told you Ob makes the best fettuccine Alfredo in the world. Fettuccine Alfredo and mac and cheese. You're not going to have that same the same texture the next day like you will with spaghetti. But it's not because the cream is gone. I'm trying to explain. I'm trying to bring people up, Chris. While you bring me down, I'm bringing other people up. The cream is there. The cream has just been injected internally, all right? It's on the inside. Sir Jesse Kelly, commander of the Pink Flower Brigade, can you say a few words about Wake Island? Coming from a family of Marines who go back to my grandpa, who was a devil dog, I've only heard it was an unnecessary disaster caused by Marines under wimpy Navy command. Ooh, I don't think I'd say that. Okay, let's touch on Wake really briefly. Next.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, or on a Tuesday, not a Wednesday. It's a Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Selena Zito, she called the Trump win before it happened. She's going to join us 10 minutes from now. She's probably too humble to be arrogant about it the way I would, of course. All right, so somebody asked about Wake Island. And guy said he heard it was an unnecessary disaster caused by the Marines under wimpy Navy command. I would not at all classify Wake Island like that. So Wake Island, just to do a little mini history for those who may not know. Remember, Pearl Harbor for us is a huge event. Still, to this day, it is a huge event, understandably. What happened? They just attacked us out of nowhere. It's a big, big, big deal to this day in this country, and it should be. But for the Japanese, it's not that Pearl Harbor wasn't huge. For the Japanese, though, Pearl Harbor was one aspect of a multi-pronged surprise attack that they launched in a very short span against a bunch of different places. The best way I can think of it is, think about the island of Japan. Okay, you've got this island of Japan. Now, picture all these different groups, different armies, if you will, and spread them out like sunshine. Okay, all different directions. That's essentially, it's a very dumbed-down version of what they did. Japan's theory was, let's surprise attack everybody all at once. Let's take as much as we possibly can, gobble everything up, then fortify it, because we know we can't take everything. We know they're going to fight back. They're going to try to take back what we took, but we fortify it to such a degree that eventually whoever comes to attack us will have to sue for peace. And then in Japan's eyes, if they've doubled, let's say they doubled, they did more than that, but let's say they doubled their territory with their initial attack. Well, even if they end up having to give half that back, 75% of that back, then they're still 25% better than they were before, right? That was the way of thinking. Take as much as you can. Yeah, we'll probably have to give some back in the end, but we'll be fine. They did not take into account America's unconditional surrender attitude that we had after Pearl Harbor. Anyway, so while Pearl Harbor was happening, the same day, Wake Island happened. Now, if you look this up, you'll say, Jesse, you're wrong, because Wake Island, the Japanese attacked the Marines and Navy people on Wake Island on December 8th. But that's because of the time change and the different time zones. Yes, Wake Island was attacked on December 8th, but Pearl Harbor, everyone knows, was attacked on December 7th, and actually it was the exact same time. So no, Wake Island wasn't a failure by anybody. It was just a tiny little garrison. There were not many people there, and the Japanese wanted Wake Island badly. And so while Pearl Harbor was going on, they launched this assault on Wake Island. We weren't at war. I'm trying to picture how I would describe it. Like, I was stationed in 29 Palms. Now, this isn't because it's not an island in the middle of the ocean. It won't have as much play, but I was stationed in 29 Palms. Before we declared war on Iraq, I was in 29 Palms. It would be like waking up one morning in the barracks and there's a division of Chinese troops storming through the gates, attacking the base. Wait a minute, we're not at war with China? Wait, what? Why are the, what is going on? So losing Wake Island, which we eventually did, although it took them a couple tries, and it didn't fall in a day or two. The Marines and the sailors, to be honest, they put up a brawl on Wake Island, and they made the Japanese really, really feel it. Really feel it badly. But they had no idea an attack was coming. Really, nobody did. I don't know who's telling people out there that was a terrible failure. And to clarify, I'm sure there was failure. I'm sure there were intelligence failures that missed things, maybe even command on the ground failures. But whatever failures there may have been, Wake Island was always going to fall. You have a tiny garrison that was attacked by a very capable Japanese force that had been training for it, and the tiny garrison didn't even know it was coming. Wake Island was always going to fall. But remember that. Remember the nice little tidbit for trivia night. Wake Island was December 8th. Pearl Harbor was December 7th. But they actually took place on the same day. On the same day. And it wasn't alone. That they weren't the only two people. The Japanese did more than just attack us. Over 48, 72 hours, honestly, a couple weeks, they sent their fleet and their troops out in every single direction to try to create a huge circle, a huge defense perimeter, if you will, around the Japanese islands. Again, the plan was take them, fortify them, dare the, quote, soft Westerners to come get us out of them. That was their way of thinking. And guess we weren't quite as soft as they thought. Now, Selena Zito has this terrible habit of being right with her political predictions. How does she do that? She was right about the Trump stuff. She called Trump's win in 2016, too. And she called this last one. How does she do that? Let's talk to Selena about that and her Thanksgiving. But first, let's talk about saving a baby's life. It is the Christmas season. Well, I guess we haven't had Thanksgiving yet, so it still qualifies as the holiday season. But babies are still dying in droves. Now that the abortion pill is so readily available, babies die a lot in this country. How do we fight back against a pill being delivered to you in the mail? Well, the only way to fight back is to change hearts. And you change hearts with the gift of ultrasound. That's what preborn does. 200 a day. That's how many lives preborn saves. 200 babies that were about to be executed, saved because of what you do with preborn. They give ultrasounds free. That young woman, free ultrasound for her. She hears that heartbeat, she'll choose life almost every time. And if she needs help after that, if she needs diapers or formula or a place to go, preborn's there, up to 2 years of care. Now that is doing the Lord's work right there. And it's tax deductible for Pete's sake. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and man, Selena Zito picked the music so well, I almost declined the interview. We could have just sat back and listened the entire time, but that wouldn't be right, would it? Love me some Sammy Davis Jr. Anyway, joining me now, the great Selena Zito, one of the great journalists in the country who called the Trump win a long time before it happened. Selena, spike the football. Go ahead, rub it in everyone's face. That's what I would do.
I was on your show, wasn't it like the day of or the day before?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm like, he's going to win and McCormick's going to win.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about Pennsylvania. What happened with that McCormick race? What took so long? Is the state of Pennsylvania, which you know I dearly love, I have so many relatives there, Amish and otherwise, is that state just a corrupt disaster now, Selena? What's happened to Pennsylvania?
You know, there was no reason for that recount. I mean, technically, he was allowed to, it was triggered because it went below 0.5%. but it, meaning Casey. However, it was a scooch below a half a percent. He was very well aware that it was not going to change the election. In fact, I think there's only been two elections that have ever been changed in American politics in a recount, like ever, right? It just doesn't happen when you're ahead by 20,000 votes. So here's what I think. I think two things happened at one time. I think Casey was stunned that he lost. He's never, outside of a primary race against Ed Rendell in 2002 for governor, Bob Casey has never lost a general election race since 1996. He's always won, and he's always won by double digits. And so I think he was really convinced that the issues that he was running on, which were snackflation, which is really funny because 80% of the snacks produced in this, consumed in this country are made in Pennsylvania. So I thought that was like a bad idea. And he was running on abortion. And, you know, that's not what the issues were for voters. And he has failed to be the senator. You know, some senators are very, very good about being out there, right? And showing up and cutting ribbons and talking, you know, to voters and good constituent services. And he was not that good at it. And McCormick was a beast. He was everywhere. He had a great Pennsylvania story to tell through, you know, you're from Ohio, Pennsylvania, you know, wrestling is like bigger than football, right? Mm-hmm. He went to West Point on wrestling, right? He had that all Pennsylvania story. He served in the military. He ran a business in Pittsburgh. He just embodied the electorate. And so I think that was a really long way of me saying Casey just could not believe that he lost. But more importantly, I think what they were trying to do was set precedents by counting illegal votes so that they could weaken Pennsylvania voters' law. I think that was Mark Elias's sort of underhanded way of trying to do that. Luckily, our state Supreme Court, which I should mention is 5-2 Democrat majority, and they were having none of it. They were so mad at the Bucks County commissioners, at Montgomery County commissioners, and the Center County commissioners for counting illegal ballots that they wrote their ruling in all capital letters.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking with Selena Zito, of course, you need to go sign up for her free newsletter, selenazito.com, if you want to stay up to date on some things. Okay, Selena, I've been asking everybody. I'm going to go ahead and ask you, although I think I have a good idea where this is going. Thanksgiving in the Zito home. Are we going to get something out of the tradition, or is it turkey and mashed potatoes and all the other gross things everyone else eats?
I'm Italian. This is going to be veal scallopini, sauce, meatballs, ricotta balls, homemade pasta. I do make homemade pumpkin pie and apple pie and pecan pie. That's the traditional part. But it's an Italian Thanksgiving tomorrow with my daughter and my son-in-law and my four grandchildren.
Gosh, that sounds fantastic. I love veal scallopini. Gosh, it's freaking outstanding. Okay, so Selena, you said the election wasn't about abortion. And it very clearly wasn't. I saw a chart today on the demographic shift. It was every demographic shifted towards Trump. He didn't win all of them, but it men, women, black, white, yep. Latino, every single one he gained, every single one. My question is, running a presidential campaign is a $1 billion operation. Democrats have a million pollsters, too, and public relations people. How could you run an entire campaign on an issue that didn't move the needle for people?
Because they're so encased in an intellectual bubble. They believe that everything that they believe is what everybody else believes. and they're just talking back and forth at each other. You know, and they also talked about massive gender gap. There wasn't a gender gap. There's a marriage gap, but there wasn't a gender gap. Married women overwhelmingly voted for Trump, or women with children. It was single women that did not, college-educated single women. So, you know, they just don't know the country. You know, and I was on your show numerous times saying the middle class, it's not white working class anymore. It's middle class, Black, white, Hispanic, and Asian. They're voting shoulder to shoulder. They do not let, that was the blind spot the Democrats had. They kept trying to put people in racial silos. People vote their community, and they vote what's going on in their families' lives and their friends' lives. You know, the people that they coach each other's kids' softball games or sit in the pew every Sunday, right? Those racial lines have blurred, and the Democrats just did not understand that. They could not wrap their heads around the fact that Blacks and Hispanics, who they believed they had owned, had moved so dramatically away from them.
Selena, do you get the impression, and I know before I even ask the question, it's probably a combination of a bunch of things, but do you get the impression that the average voter, not me, who I'm a hardcore partisan, but the average voter, was it a rejection of the Democrat Party or more of a rejection of Kamala Harris, who was, in my opinion, a historically awful candidate who was put into place in historically awful circumstances? Was it a rejection of Dom or a rejection of Democrats? Because those are two different things.
No, it was a rejection of Democrats. She performed as any generic Democrat candidate would have. Look, I have written and I have believed since 2020 that 2020 election was a fluke. It was, everyone thought that Donald Trump was the fluke in 2016. That is not true. We are a center-right country. We've had two fluke elections in the past 25 years, and they are Barack Obama and Joe Biden. Barack Obama, because of the unique qualities having to do with his race, and also his ability to deliver a soaring oratory. That alone made people not vote what they traditionally would vote. And Biden was a fluke because of COVID. And the truth is, if we look at this country is center right. We're not far right, we're center right. And Republicans have a much easier way to win than Democrats do. It's just that our cultural curators, meaning our national media, our corporations, our institutions, our governing, the bureaucrats in our government, they're not center left, they're left. And that's where the conflict lies. The truth is the country is center left, and the flukes have been Obama and Biden.
Yeah, I'm going to bank on that. I think you're right about that. And cultural curators, I love that so much. I'm going to steal it and use it and give you no credit for it whatsoever. She is Selena Zito. Go sign up for her newsletter. Selena, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Enjoy a home full of Italians.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's talk about chalk, shall we? You want to talk about chalk with me? It's Black Friday special. Jesse, it's not Friday. No, Chalk runs a Black Friday special in November. For the whole month of November, you unlock a massive discount on any subscription. It doesn't have to be a male vitality stack or female vitality stack. They have a lot more than just that. They have the best pre-workout I've ever had, Chad Mode. They have the Chalk Lit Powder, whatever you get. Endless natural herbal supplements. Unlock a massive discount at chalk.com. Using the promo code Jesse. And that gets you a $50 bonus product on your first delivery. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. You don't have to be low energy. You don't have to run out of gas at 2 or 3 in the afternoon. You can feel 10 years younger. You're 90 days away from it. Try it. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Final segment on this Tuesday, reminding you, you need to email your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow. Email them into jesse@jessekellyshow.com or leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. That is it, right, Chris? 877-377-4373. I nailed it. I nail it every time. What, Chris? You're just jealous. You know what? I was listening to this before. I think maybe it was Chris who called in and left this voicemail.
Well, play this on there, you f***head. You know what the f*** you're talking about? You're a dumb liberal mother. I hope you die today. I hope you die. I hope you get a sickness. You die of a slow disease. You f***head. How's that? You like that, Jesse? You piece of shit. I don't know who the fuck you're on TV anyway.
You know, if you're struggling with alcohol, you can always get help. Just remember, you need to go get some help.
My husband watches your show, and as I turned on the TV, your show is on. I don't know who you are, Jesse Kelly, but I totally agree with you about the hamburger not needing pickles or bacon. I can't stand bacon on it. That's all I want to say. Bye.
You know, one, that woman sounds smart. Her husband must be a brilliant man leading her in the right direction. Two, I didn't address bacon yesterday. I didn't address it. And I almost feel like a coward. I feel like I chickened out on addressing bacon on a burger. When we were talking about acceptable burger toppings, and I was saying people go, they do way too much. It's a meat and cheese delivery system. That's what a cheeseburger is. Those are the stars of the show. Keep the big deal the big deal. Don't throw 1,000 things on your burger. Your burger doesn't need 1,000 things, okay? I didn't talk about bacon. And I've had bacon cheeseburgers. I like bacon cheeseburgers. I can't stress this enough. I like bacon cheeseburgers. So don't email me and say, oh, yeah, you hate bacon. What, have you been hanging out with Chris too long? I like bacon cheeseburgers. However, the cheeseburger doesn't need bacon. Will it improve it? Well, yeah, bacon improves everything. You could add bacon bits to vanilla ice cream, and it would make it better. Bacon improves everything. I got that. But your burger shouldn't need it. If you choose to put it on there, fine. It obviously gives the flavor a little oomph, a little boost to it. But there are other things that need bacon. You know, your disgusting Brussels sprouts, those need bacon. The cheeseburger doesn't. And so I don't usually use it. There, I said it. And I'll say one more thing before we get to headlines I didn't get to. CNN has an article out today that says it's fine to pee in the shower. Please don't pee in your shower. Why are you raising your hands like that, Chris? Don't tell me you're a shower peer, Chris. You stand there in your own filth like some kind of an animal. Chris, no, you are. No, I understand it's a shower, not a bath, right? Use a pool like a... No, I'm kidding. But you... Chris, no. No, no. This is what separates us from the animals. I will not stand for it.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Exclusive. A poll proves wide majority of Americans reject celebrity endorsements. That's from Breitbart. Yes, this goes back to... honestly, remember how Daniel Turner was talking earlier in the show about Hollywood... and how Reagan used to have a bunch of Hollywood A-listers at his stuff. And then the left decided that can't ever happen again. So they took over Hollywood and now they're all a bunch of dirty commie scumbags. They took over the institution and thought they could use it however they wanted to use it. And they've used it that way forever, where you have to be a dirty commie to be in Hollywood, to get the next gig, to play in the next movie. And they would come out and endorse Democrats every single time. Well, it happens so often, people stop listening. They stop caring. Top NIH scientists admits Fauci likely funded the Wuhan lab and questions the vaccine efficacy. Wow, that guy sounds like he's on top of it. About 4 years too late. Multiple House races remain uncalled nearly 3 weeks after the election. That is so incredibly unacceptable for any country of any size or any technological ability. But for the United States of America to have House races uncalled 3 weeks after the election, it's very, very intentional. Would-be assassin Ryan Routh links himself to Thomas Crooks in an explosive jail letter. I'd almost forgotten about Ryan Routh and Thomas Crooks. You know, the two guys who tried to blow Donald Trump's head off. And speaking of Thomas Crooks, did we ever find out what was up with the encrypted overseas accounts? Did we ever find out what was with the ATF agent who was collecting pictures of the crime scene inexplicably the next day and then lawyered up when Senator Ron Johnson reached out to him? I have questions. You have questions. You can ask them for Ask Dr. Jesse Wednesday tomorrow, and I will get on the air and I will answer them in the most witty, wise, intelligent ways. Until then, that's all.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.